Depending on conditions in occupied North America, the Angra Indian may or may not employ harsh language.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
The reason that HIV was invented as the cause of AIDS is it was a way to get research money. That's how you get big bucks. That's how you get research grants to fund your laboratories and your research. In other words, if AIDS is caused by behavior, then there's no money in that because you just tell people, hey, stop doing the behavior. But so that's why they have to find some bug that they can blame it on. We got to kill this thing. We need billions of dollars of research to kill this thing, so we're chasing after something, Dr. Duesberg. Even if we got it, neutralized it, it wouldn't do a single solitary thing to stop the AIDS epidemic. Now, last question. Yeah. I got to get to this question before we're done. What does cause what we know as AIDS?
What I know is AIDS, whatever they call AIDS, what is abnormal diseases like pneumocystis, pneumonia, and diarrhea, and dementia in 20 to 30 year old men and women in the US, in Europe, in Asia, and even the few that fit that definition in Africa is recreational drugs like cocaine, heroin, amphetamines in the US. The CDC even reports that intravenous drug use is half of all AIDS patients, and the most rest of the other half is male homosexuals, but not your all-American male homosexual from next door, but it's the one who have what they call cruising, who have hundreds of thousands of sexual contacts in a short time, and they can only accomplish that.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land!
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know? Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
A-N-I-T-E-K-I-S-S-I-C-K.
Warfare, probably best defined by Clausewitz, is an all-out action of a certain country. It is total action. It's not halfway. It's not divided. It's not graduated. It's total. Well, you can't make total defense. You have to make total offense, even if you're in a defensive position. If you're in a siege in a fort, you'd be thinking about offense because you're thinking of getting out of there. You're going to die if you stay there, you see. offense is the core of war. Clausewitz lists 9 principles of war that have been the same ever since men were throwing stones at each other, on up to atom bombs. The primary principle of war is the objective. If you don't know what you're doing, you got no business going to war. That is the antithesis of the idea of having a Department of Defense. And it's very important for our country. We don't know why we have a military. In fact, when President Reagan spoke about having weapons in space, he called it the Strategic Defense Initiative, putting two opposite words together, the initiative and the defense. The defense initiative. The words don't even go together. You know, it's like having a cat dog or something, you know. You can't do it. Well, this is how bad the thinking about warfare has become in this country. And it isn't because people have become less able. It's because they are unable to assimilate the power and the threat of nuclear weapons. And today, the power and the threat of the biological weapons, such as AIDS. AIDS is a weapon, and don't forget it. It was developed by the Defense Department, and it's a weapon. And people need to know that, and they should never forget it. It is a biological weapon created by the Defense Department, funded by Congress. That's all a matter of record. It is not a disease that came out of some cellar somewhere by mistake. So, and this is why people don't know how to assimilate the idea of warfare. They don't know what to do with hydrogen bombs that can erase a whole city in seconds. And they don't know what to do with AIDS as a weapon. It gets away and it can't stop. Well, that's the basic problem we're having today when we talk about warfare. We have forgotten how war is waged. And defense is not the way to wage a war.
Internet radio for smarter than original.
C'était des intelligents de radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the fourth world from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Saluton and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the fourth world from aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And you are tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. As usual, welcome along, welcome along. Shout out to the gods and earths and peace to the original family at this time of strife and struggle. This is the Angry Indian, and coming straight at you from occupied North America, from Everyman Studios, where I'm joined by our engineer, Guadalupe Morales. We're going to get into, I suppose, what you can call conspiracy theory territory, even though conspiracies exist. For those who, you know, I mean, they use conspiracy theory as a pejorative in contemporary usage, and it's accurate, but at the same time, it's really not fair. We know full well that what happened to John F. Kennedy was a conspiracy. What actually happened? Well, we can debate that. But the point was, they said it was a conspiracy officially, at least initially, of one person. Then I believe it was 1978, they said that it was at least two people, that it couldn't have been one man. Now, we can get into the whole thing about that, but that's not what I want to discuss today. You know, and actually, if you think that you are a, well, for lack of a better term, and I say this with all due respect, if you are a JFK conspiracy investigator, I don't want to say theorists. If you're an investigator, if you're one of these independent investigators and you feel that you're knowledgeable and you have something to say, we would definitely like to have you on the show. Angry Indian Radio at lavabit.com. And that goes for all of the listeners. You know, this is about people's media. So, you know, a lot of the people we approach for interviews, they feel that, you know, they don't have enough education, they don't have title and what have you. And That's not really where it's at, brothers and sisters. We're talking to activists, people like ourselves, people like you. Come on the show. If there are subjects that you want to hear, I've been trying to. Maybe I'm not doing a very good job at it, but Aboriginal Radio at lavabit.com. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear. Tell us what you think of what you've heard. If you would like to be a guest, if you want to suggest some guests, let us know. Aboriginal Radio at lavabit.com. So anyway, what we're going to talk about today is HIV and AIDS, and I'm not going to talk too much, actually, only because we have some audio testimony that we really think you ought to listen to, and you have to check the sources. Now, on your way in, you heard Colonel Fletcher Prouty. You know, I don't know what else to say about him other than he was a very high-ranking intelligence officer. By his own admission, he said he was involved in covert operations. For those of you, again, who are JFK conspiracy theorists, and those of you who had seen the film JFK by Oliver Stone, you might, from rumor, I've never seen this confirmed anywhere, that the character of Mr. X, played by the actor Donald Sutherland, was actually supposed to be Fletcher Prouty. So this is somebody who knew his business. He was there when all of these things happened. And he didn't make a judgment call, at least from any of the testimony that I heard, of like good or bad or evil or what have you. He just said this is the way the world really functions. And for him to say what he said pretty much, you know, validates what a lot of African people in the United States, in Africa, throughout the entire African diaspora have been, you know, suggesting for some time without any evidence. And I do have to point that out. You know, I mean, there's a lot of folks who are just running around in the African community. And again, I'm not picking on my RGB brothers, but, you know, it's like, you know, red, black, and green. You know, I'm down with that. I understand that. But I understand that within the context of, like, Garvey understood that. And even within that, we have to have a little understanding here. You know, it's one thing to go ahead and shout this from the rooftops. It's another thing to be able to prove it and to be able to argue your points. Now, it's just like recently I got into a serious debate with someone over the whole John Hansen myth. And I'm going to say that again. Underline, capital M, myth. You know, anyone who believes that the first president of the United States was a black man is insane. And anyone who believes that photography, you know, was a fact at that time is insane. You know, Dick Gregory, I love him. He's been out there. He's been out there when a lot of other people have not been out there. He was doing this in the, you know, late 50s, 60s on stage. He took a big chance. I support the brother. I love him dearly. But he was wrong on this. And we need to get to the facts of things. You know, I mean, I love my black people. But, you know, a lot of these rumors, a lot of these ridiculous rumors, you know, and the idea that belief equals fact is nonsense. You know, and for those of you who, you know, are from this milieu, and you know what I'm talking about, you don't eat your nice shades and you twist your hair and you wear your kente cloth. And again, I'm down with you. But we got to get to facts and look at the contradictions, not just in those who are trying to literally harm us, but we have to look at the contradictions in our own, you know, systems. You know, like Mugabe. Look, I can say back in the day I supported Mugabe, but I cannot support Mugabe now. And it has nothing to do with the pressure that he's getting from the outside. The pressure he's getting from the outside today is light compared to what he was dealing with when he first took power. But the bottom line is he's gotten himself into a political position that he can't get his ass out of. So he's using brute tactics to stay in power. That's the bottom line. You know, we're not talking about somebody of the caliber of Patrice Lumumba. That's the bottom line. Now, would have Lumumba gone that way? We don't know. He never got a chance. But Mugabe was given a chance. And Zimbabwe did well for 10 years. And when it started to fail, because he tried to keep his promises to the rabble-rousers. And this is where I'm looking at you RGB brothers. And we're going to get back to HIV and AIDS in a minute. But I feel that this is important. Now, we have to understand that, you know, a lot of us go back to, you know, we fall back on belief. and we fall back on, if I make a strong enough argument and if I can shout louder than everybody else, then that means that I'm right. And a lot of us come up with all kinds of things. I mean, I've seen brothers get into arguments with people talking about, well, the martial arts started in Africa. You know, that's actually true in a historical sense, in the sense that if Africans are the first people, of course they had martial systems. They had to in order to survive. On the other hand, there is a link in terms of ancient, original, indigenous martial arts in India that can be traced to the Dravidian people, who, again, we can go again to the Human Genome Project and argue about this. The Dravidians are African people. Their origins are in East Africa. You know, so, you know, there is no dispute about this, but at the same time, that's a long stretch to now say, even though this is a documented fact, that it was Indian Buddhists, actually the founder of Zen, or Chan Buddhism, who brought what we now understand as martial arts to China. And this is with the basis of the Shaolin Temple and everything else that, you know, for those of you who are into the movies and what have you, this is the basis, the historical basis of it. And there are wall murals from the original Shaolin Temple that survive. There are, you know, reproductions of this. No one disputes this, where you see dark people who are actually instructing these native Chinese in physical culture, because that's what it was called back then. It was not to go around and tear people up. It was to improve your physical and spiritual union. The same thing with the Greeks. Strong mind, strong body. The complete human being. The complete man, if you want to get to that. Because, of course, they weren't thinking about our sisters, right? The complete man, okay? Now, you know, that's the historical reality of it. Now, stretching that the black man had something directly to do with all of this, that's going a little far. Now, Masayama, for those of you, again, who do the research in terms of martial arts, made it very clear in his own writings. No one disputed this, because as far as the Asian martial arts community was concerned, going especially by what I just told you, this is correct. That what we understand as martial arts started in Africa. And he even pointed to Egypt in terms of wrestling and what became, and I can't pronounce the term because I don't speak Greek, Frankration, what have you, however it was pronounced. This is the physical combat sport that was used during the Olympic Games, the original Olympic Games. And what he did was link that to their contact with North Africa. Now, the same thing has been done in Black Athena. But see, I know brothers that will quote Black Athena, but have never read Black Athena, one or two. They've never read any of the volumes. I've read one myself, and it's deep, but it's dealing with language, primarily, at least the first volume, to explain where this professor, Martin Bernal, is coming from. But, you know, brothers will come up with all sorts of things and really not be able to back it. And it's unfortunate, and it really puts us in a very, very goddamn bad light. And, you know, it has a lot to say and has a lot to do, actually, in terms of our thought processes. Now, we can continue to blame white people for this, and it's inaccurate, and I put at least 75% of the blame on the colonial situation. But at some point, if you're able to put two socks on without assistance, you should be able to figure out what the hell is going on about you. You know, I find it very difficult that people can keep jobs, pay bills on time, get their car note done, get their tabs and what have you when they're supposed to. You know how to do everything else about themselves, know how to clean their ears, but when it comes to basic thinking skills, they don't, you know, it's this complete stupidity, and it has a lot to do with emotion. We have to dump this, and for a lot of our brothers that are part of these various movements, they mean well, but what it really comes down to is, you know, they're looking for an emotional, you know, closure, an emotional solace, you know, some emotional reason to explain their being for their existence, and I understand that. But this is where I'm coming to with conspiracy theories. Now, while everyone is running around and blaming gays in the African community for the prevalence of HIV and AIDS, which now in the United States is actually worse than Africa, but only in the African community. It's still at high rates, but it's somewhat leveled out in the gay community. And depending on where you go in the world and in the United States, the rates have actually dropped for homosexual men within the mainstream. But when it comes to the non-white population, and in particular the African-American and Native American populations, it is worse than Africa. So So we have to understand something. You know, there's a whole lot of, chit chat, if you want to call it. I call it a whole lot of bullshit that's going on in these churches, you know, from a lot of black preachers that are actually making money. And they're taking money, you know, from white interests that are very serious and, you know, totally confusing the African community in the United States. They're telling people not to use condoms. You know, they're telling people that, you know, blame gays for all of this, that this is not, you know, has anything to do with, being with God and being, you know, along with nature and all this, you know, crapola. You know, totally dismissing the fact that the spread of HIV and AIDS in Africa is spread through heterosexual contact. Now, maybe you weren't listening, so I'm going to say that again. The prevalence of HIV in the African community is spread through heterosexual contact. So for all of you brothers and sisters that want to argue with me about my stance on the hip-hop universe, explain to me with all this pimping and hoeing and bitch this and bitch that and, you know, do it raw and what have you. And, you know, for people who are proud to say that they've been in and out of the institutions here where this is spreading like wildfire, including hepatitis, which no one discusses. I mean, we're not talking about that, right? We're not talking about diabetes. We're not talking about any of this, you know, but we're talking about the Illuminati, which is a whole lot of nonsense. You know, if you do your research, Adam Weishaupt tried this, it failed, and it died with him a long goddamn time ago. But, you know, you're basically talking about, you know, white people being insane and being the devil, but then you're following everything devils are saying. I mean, all of this nonsense is really the fears of white folks, but, you know, the majority of you are buying into this. So instead of paying attention to what the hell is happening in terms of, and I mean, what in terms of the, what is really happening in the African community, in terms of this particular disease, and how this has gone from the United States from being a homosexual disease to an African disease. And if you listen to what I'm telling you, it has always been an African disease, and it was intentionally created to be an African disease. Now, again, having said that, it sounds like I'm a Looney Tunes, right? But you have to understand the background behind this. If you understand anything about the Tuskegee medical experiment, you can kiss my ass by saying that I'm off the wall with this. You know, there's been various companies who have tested on African people in the United States. And we're hearing a case right now, for those of you who follow Democracy Now!, which you can find at democracynow.org, the United States is actually saying that they should not be held responsible for experiments that they were doing on human beings in Guatemala. Now, before that, there were cases that had been leaked from Mexico, from Puerto Rico, from the Dominican Republic. So, you know, I mean, Acres of Skin, read that book. You know, I mean, don't, you know, let's not play games. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to talk about conspiracies and conspiracy theories, the hell with theory. You have conspiracies that are going on right now every day. I mean, the Council on Foreign Relations, can you go in there and find out what's happening? No, you can't. The press can't get in. These Bilderberger meetings that these right-wing clusterfucks keep yelling about, can you get in there? Absolutely not. World Health Organization, can you find out what's happening in there? You find out what they release. World Trade Organization, do you know what's going on over there? Absolutely not. One of the big complaints about big business, and you can check Professor Noam Chomsky on this, is that they don't like the fact that they can't do business now behind closed doors because there's always activists out of here yelling about what the hell is going on. So the African community needs to really take some stock. Understand that you're getting hurt. You know that already, but I'm saying understand with a capital U how you are being damaged. And pay attention to real conspiracies. Now, why am I saying this at this time? Because I found it particularly interesting that PBS is doing a special on HIV and AIDS in the black community, and then all of a sudden, brothers and sisters, there's notice of an over-the-counter test for HIV. Now, that technology has been around for about 12 years. I know this for a fact. As an activist in the Pacific Northwest and as a certified HIV counselor, peer counselor, I know this for a fact. But all of a sudden now the general public is being told about an over-the-counter HIV test. Okay, this sounds good. Right after Obamacare has just been qualified by the Supreme Court. To the point where a conservative supported the Obama administration in keeping us up. Now, why did they do that? Well, it was actually very simple, because the Obama administration went a little further than the Clinton administration did. See, the Clinton administration was trying to give health care, or what they were calling single payer, which was all nonsense. Basically, everybody has to buy health care. This is what the conservatives are yelling about, right? Okay, so everybody has to buy health care, which I find, as a side note, I find kind of ridiculous that they're bitching about this. Well, I don't want health care. I have to pay for it. Well, I agree, in the sense that we're already paying taxes for the technology and the grants that are used to develop these medicines. Why should Americans have to pay for healthcare at all? But we're not talking about healthcare. We're talking about sick care. This is where, you know, a lot of money is going to be made. And that's why Justice Roberts voted the way he did. So everybody else stuck with the ideology, but he remembers who got him into the Supreme Court. So he backed their interests. What the Obama situation did, as opposed to what the Clinton plan was, the Clinton White House wanted to give it to one company. The Obama administration gave it to the industry. There's a big difference there. And, you know, I find it odd that, you know, people who are conservative complaining about this, saying they don't want to pay for this and they don't want to pay for the school system. They don't want to pay for this, that, and the other. Well, it's funny because you're paying for warfare, and I don't like doing that. But, you know, I pay my taxes any goddamn way. But Romney doesn't. All right, the 1%, the people you back, the crowd that you want to get into with your class politics, talking about maintaining the middle class, when we shouldn't be maintaining any goddamn political and social classes here, you know, that's total hypocrisy. I'm paying for drones that I don't want anything to do with. I still pay my goddamn tab. How about you? You know, and for all these Republicans that will, you know, just have diarrhea right now over what I just said, you're arguing for the point of not paying any taxes at all. Or having the opinion that only some of us should pay taxes. So that was a side note, because I find that hypocrisy, and, you know, I think that it needs to be pointed out. But what I'm trying to say is I find it particularly odd that public media, which is 60% owned by the federal government and at the same time headed by conservatives, because, you know, Bush the second made sure of that, that, you know, that they do a story on the African community and AIDS, and then all of a sudden here comes an over-the-counter testing system, which, again, makes sense. I'm not knocking it per se, but I'm looking at the timing, because right after this comes out a pill that supposedly will prevent HIV transmission. Now, all of it, this, you know, this reeks and smells of capitalism to me, and it also reeks and smells of pure racism. And what am I saying by that? Well, I find it really difficult as somebody who's been out here trying to deal with this situation, you know, in two different communities, the Native and the African community, and I find it particularly strange that the profit margin on this comes out right about the time that Obamacare was solidified by the Supreme Court. And, you know, I also have been making the same argument for years, that it's fucked up to go out here and push people to get tested, and then they find out they're positive, and they have absolutely no health insurance at all, they have no psychological support, they have no material support from any goddamn body. And, you know, in many cases, they're turned away from their families and entire communities, especially in the case of Native Americans. So, let's get real. You know, it's one thing to tell people to go out here and do that, and there's another thing to tell them to do that, and then when they find out, you know, something bad, that they don't have any help. You know, many people of color, actually, this is a, you know, something that's not discussed. Many people, and a lot of people of color, it's disproportionate. When they find out that they have a negative test, they commit suicide. You know, a lot of them just give up and they do a slow suicide. They drink and drug themselves to death because they figure they're already done for. And the stigma of this particular disease, because of the way it has emerged in the United States and the way that it was pushed, that this is a gay disease. And we all know gays are bad, right? This is what the Republicans keep saying, right? You know, Republicans like Romney, who talks all his crapola, but he invests in companies in China for jobs that take jobs away from Americans. And he invests in a company. This is reported by, you know, it's all over. Go look it. Don't believe me. A company that disposed of aborted fetuses. But he's pro-life. And he's a Mormon. And we all know about Mormons, especially in the African community, we know about Mormons. Because going to them, we weren't human until when? When were we considered to be humans by the Mormon religion? So, no. You know, I'm done. But, you know, what I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, you know, we got real problems out here. Instead of looking for real solutions by really looking at the problems, we're looking at conspiracy theories. I'm talking about the Illuminati and a bunch of cats standing around holding candles. There's a skull on the middle of the table and everybody's wearing a hood and talking about, you know, this shall be done. No, I say I don't have time for that. And if you're an intelligent Aboriginal, you don't have time for that either. So we're going to hear from people other than me who really understand this business, who know more than I do, and can point to some things. So this is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. And as usual, if you have something to say about the information and news that's discussed on this internet radio broadcast, please drop us a line, aboriginalradio@lobofit.com. And, you know, just want to tell you, if you want to get the man up off your back, brother and sister, you've got to stand up. Sig it.
You are listening to the Angry Indian Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
I noticed that the national media, they talk a lot about the loss of revenue or the inability of the government to fund Social Security. And I was curious, and I've read articles in recent months here that, the abortions that have happened since Roe v. Wade, the lost revenue for the people who have been aborted during that the last 30-something years, could fund Social Security as we know it today. And the media does never touch it this at all.
Assuming they're all productive citizens?
They're assuming that they are. Yeah. Even if only a portion of them were, it would be an enormous amount of revenue.
Maybe, but we don't know what the costs would be, too. I think, as abortion disproportionately occur among single women?
I don't know the exact statistics, but quite a bit are, yeah.
All right. Well, I just don't know. I would not argue for the pro-life position based on this, because you don't know. I mean, it cuts both. You know, one of the arguments in this book, Freakonomics, that they make is that the declining crime rate, they deal with this hypothesis that one of the reasons crime is down is that abortion is up. Well,
I don't think that statistic is accurate.
Well, I don't think it is either. I don't think it is either, because, first of all, I think there's just too much that you don't know. But I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down. That would be an impossible, ridiculous, and morally reprehensible thing to do. But your crime rate would go down. So these far-reaching, extensive extrapolations are, I think, tricky.
Don't let the colonial occupation blues get you down. Listen to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The podcast for Intelligent Aboriginals.
I'm going to stand until I can't stand no more, if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
Nicely played. Sachin is off the mark.
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको, बेल बजाओ। घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें। ब्रेक थ्रू की पहल।
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and FirstVoicesIndigenousRadio.org.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Hi, my name is Isidore Bonney, and I'm from the San Carlos Apache tribe. I am 39 years old, and I am gay. And for the past 4 years, I have been living with full-blown AIDS and hepatitis C, two deadly viruses that are slowly eating and killing me. As a result of my diagnosis, I had no choice but to leave my reservation because of the stigma and the ignorance and the lack of confidentiality. So I had to live on the streets of Phoenix for 2 years, eating out of dumpsters, getting beaten, and wondering what else am I going to do with my life, if I had one. Not really sure if I was going to live another year. But as a result, I managed to gain enough strength and confidence to face my debilitating illnesses and ignorance and the stigma that I was getting. And I went to the media who welcomed me. They told my story to the world, and since educating people, this has been a blessing to me. It has been more healing for me to be open with myself and with others. And as a result, I've been educating people not only in Arizona but throughout the country. And I think that's the best thing that I can do, is to just tell my story and educate people. And a lot of people ask me, Isidore, how can ignorance or stigma be reduced? And all I can say is that you have to just be educated. Educate yourself. Educate other people. Accept people, whether they're gay or not. If they have AIDS, care about them. Love brings healing where medication does not. And if you have any questions about HIV and AIDS, I would suggest that you contact your local AIDS office or your local AIDS agency for more information. But in the meantime, just know that AIDS has hit Native people, and we're doing all we can to fight this other debilitating illness that has struck our people, as others have in the past, and we will not give up.
Hi, I'm Buffy St. Marie. We have overcome many obstacles in our history as Aboriginal people. We've survived. Today, we must work together, become leaders in the fight to stop the spread of HIV/AIDS in our communities. We have to think about the 7 generations ahead of us. It's a matter of survival.
Thank you.
white society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
Hey, what do you think about this idea? Since we freed the slaves in 1865, don't you think the black race owes the white race reparations? I was thinking like $20,000, you know, per person. I mean, anybody that's not on welfare.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
Hey, this is Vagabond, producer, writer, and director, Machetero. You're listening to The Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
We now enter the world of speculation. We're going to speculate about the possible origin of AIDS. A lot has been written in Europe about this, saying that it's different from what we're being told in the United States. We talk with former CIA official John Stockwell about this.
John, I think when we look back in the 1980s, we're going to look at AIDS and Reagan as the two most distinctive and characteristic phenomena of the decade. Two virulent viruses that got out of control and have wreaked havoc on the body politic. Are there any connections between these phenomena? We know that Reagan really didn't respond to AIDS during the first 5 or 6 years of his administration, even though in 1981 scientific evidence came out that we had an epidemic on our hands. Reagan really didn't allocate resources to the medical research in this epidemic, and really hasn't done too much until recently. He now has his testing programs, but he's never really responded to it as a medical problem. Is there any evidence that the CIA or some Reaganites might be involved in the origin of AIDS? The first didn't really appear until around 1981. Is this the sort of virus that can be concocted by chemicals or some sort of biological warfare techniques?
Well, there are articles have been written by doctors saying that this thing smells of a man-made virus, and mentioning this Fort Detrick, where so many experimentations have been done and devising biological warfare, the diseases that can be controlled, can be used on society. No evidence has come out, nothing that can be cited as proof, and so we can only raise the question. And I have the feeling that if there is evidence somewhere, if there was, it's been destroyed. Another suggestion, not CIA, and mind you, in the context, the Fort Detrick experimentation, in the context of the MKUltra program of experimenting on the American people with disease and drugs in over 200 medical schools and mental hospitals, a big program that went on a long time, supposedly closed down.
By the CIA.
By the CIA. Also, the Army was involved, but a lot of the Navy's activities, the Navy was just cover for the CIA.
Oh.
But experimenting on population centers with whooping cough viruses, with other kinds of viruses, dragging a barge through San Francisco Bay, leaking a flu-type virus, to measure that technique for crippling a city, apparently using swine fever virus, which is very much AIDS similar, to wipe out the hog population in Cuba in 1961. You add these things up, and we have every reason to ask if this is not either a deliberate or an experiment or a testing or something that's gone awry done by the CIA. Another possibility. The London Times on the 11th of May had an article sourcing a high official in the World Health Organization who claims that he brought out documentation, apparently, that AIDS was triggered by smallpox inoculation programs of the World Health Organization, and presenting all kinds of massive documentation of the countries where it's hit the worst, where they had the massive smallpox inoculations. And then, of course, once it, you know, apparently takes on a life of its own, the history will have to judge some of these things. Horrifying as AIDS is, it primarily the victims, the 25,000 who've died in this country so far, are homosexuals and drug users, the needle exchange. Horrifying as this is, nevertheless, it's limited to one segment of the society. And it's a drop in the bucket compared to some of our major health problems. 800,000 people die each year from smoking-related illnesses. And there is no great furore about that. And that's 800,000 per year. 55,000 a year dying on the highways, a lot of them from drunken driving, accidents and problems. And there's no big furore about that.
And millions of cancer, which is also, at least to some extent, human-made or produced medical problem.
From the pollution of the environment.
From pollutions and additives and preservatives.
And the furore on AIDS, it's clearly... Now, of course, the argument is that, well, it's potential for growth. You know, there's 75 million people that have it in Africa today and like numbers here, and there'll be 10 or 15 million now. History will show us whether or not that's true, whether it spreads like that.
Well, do these articles you're talking about, then do they discount the stories that AIDS started in Africa and spread to the rest of the world?
Well, the stories that I've read indicate that Africa and Haiti were the first places where epidemics of AIDS were found, and then the male homosexual and drug using population of the U.S. So the speculation is that if it was the product of some berserk experiment or some accidental thing like a smallpox vaccination program going berserk, it was then imported to the target population of gay men in the U.S. by someone who wanted to carry out a vendetta against them.
Well,
this is the speculation.
That charge was raised by TASS, for example, in 1983, and some of the more extreme magazines here in the States brought it up, and that struck me as cheap shot stuff. For one thing, the CIA simply was not uptight about homosexuality. The FBI was, because Hoover was a closet homosexual of the kind that would roll other homosexuals, persecuted other homosexuals. And the FBI, he had it very uptight about its homosexuality. The CIA just simply wasn't a big factor. Mm-hmm. And certainly not enough for the CIA to become, to launch a complicated, perhaps uncontrollable program to exterminate gays.
What about renegade factions of either the CIA or the State Department who heard that there was some virus that was used in some sort of chemical warfare that had been tested in Africa and was found in Haiti and found to be highly effective, and some renegades got their hands on this and used it as a sort of berserk vendetta? Is there any plausibility in this kind of scenario?
I have grave problems with it in the CIA and the State Department, although, if a renegade faction could be two or three individuals, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
The segment of society that has delighted the most, of course, is Nixon's moral majority, the Jerry Falwell. It's clearly God's punishment.
Right.
And, whether they would have had someone who could have brought out a disease, this is pure speculation.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, of the kind that does not draw me so much, because we have so much, you have to keep your mind open to possibilities like that, because so much stuff has come out where we were saying, nah, it couldn't be, or not likely, and then later on you find absolutely. They were doing it, the experimentation on population centers. I remember when I saw the movie Coma back in, I think it was the early 60s, and I it kind of irritated me. Such fantasy, such nonsense. Someone goes into a hospital and they wind up in a ward down in the basement, and they're kept on drugs and experimented with disease, and they finally escape. And it never happened in this country, maybe in Hitler's Germany or something. And then I find out the MK Ultra thing, that exactly that was done in over 200 medical schools and mental hospitals.
What is MK Ultra? I don't recall that.
That was the program, the CIA's program for under the Technical Services Division to experiment on population centers with disease and drugs.
In what years was this?
It started in the 50s and lasted until the 70s, when Jack Anderson began to expose it, and then the media caught on to it, and the Congress investigated, and the CIA, by the way, destroyed thousands of files of victims, people that had, you know, experimented upon, so they could never get their files and sue. Mm. And supposedly it was stopped, except it was such a broad program that there was never any one bill that said stop this. It was just that the exposure made everybody presume that the thing would be stopped. And you have to be very troubled and very skeptical. Not one person was punished. Not one person involved lost a paycheck or was censored or was fired or much less jailed for those, you know, for the experimentation on American citizens with disease and drugs.
In the meanwhile, I ain't going to share my needle with you anymore, boy.
Yeah. No, that the needle usage and homosexuality is clearly, that's not a fantasy. That's not a myth. That's something where gays should take every precaution, and drug users are just inviting self-destruction by using the needles. And there's so many questions about this thing that I would advocate caution, but I would also, you know, very much like to get inside Fort Detrick's files and see what evidence there might be.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, Native women made all decisions regarding their reproductive health care. This was respected as women's business. Today, we are basically denied this decision-making power. It's time to take back that power of making decisions concerning our reproductive health. There is a choice we can make regarding unwanted pregnancy. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that must be taken within 72 hours after having unprotected sexual intercourse in order for it to be effective in preventing pregnancy. Contact your local Indian Health Service facility and ask if they carry Plan B. If not, tell them to order it. Plan B is an OTC, over-the-counter contraceptive, and a prescription is not necessary. You have a legal right to access this contraceptive over-the-counter. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Setoya kakio ni wakuma kantik. Winston Wataninia, Miksuachi, Saskatchewan, Neotsian.
I am Winston Watini. I am from Saskatchewan. Knowledge is power. We must gather knowledge to protect our children, our culture, our future. Learn the ways you can protect yourself and others from infection and spreading HIV. Teach others what you have learned. Together, we can make a difference.
This is Nahir. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney lied to Congress and launched an illegal war, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
This is Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, and you're listening to a podcast released under a Creative Commons license.
Este es Radio Insurgente, voz del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, transmitiendo desde las montañas del sureste mexicano.
HIV संक्रमितहरूलाई माया ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरूको अपेक्षा होइन, अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। एचआईभी अरूलाई मात्र होइन, तपाईलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be. We have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African-American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African-American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue.
Listen to Angry Indian Radio. He is not only for Indians, but he is also for blacks and other minorities. And they have done a lot on the problems in Palestine and also the problems of blacks. And so I recommend that you listen to them.
Under President Ford, they produced this document called National Security Study Memorandum 200. But let me just summarize what that said. What Henry Kissinger and others said was that the threat of population growth in 14 countries, plus the Palestinians, was to be considered a threat to the national security interests of the United States. So even though America was guilty of committing acts of genocide before 1974, it was only in 1974 that genocide became the official policy. Are you listening to me? If you think I'm lying, go look up NSSM 200 on the internet. There's many sites on the internet that published the whole report, about 200 pages. Go read it for yourself. And they identified South Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, the Palestinians, Brazil, and several other places, no, as enemies. Now keep in mind what this means. This is the first time in the history of America that populations of people, civilian populations, have been identified as the enemy. Not a political system like communism or socialism or Nazism or something like that. No, the very people themselves and the thing that they are doing that is a threat to the security interests of the United States, according to Mr. Kissinger, is that they're having babies. So just to cite one example from that report, Mr. Kissinger said, Nigeria, early in the 21st century, could emerge as a bona fide superpower in her own right. And the Nigerians, and not ourselves, might decide how best to utilize the natural resources of Africa. And they might decide that the natural resources of Africa should be used for African development and not the development of America and Europe. So therefore, the population of Nigeria became one of the enemies. Another example. Mr. Kissinger wrote that Brazil, which is the largest African country outside of Africa, with 70 million Africans. He wrote that sometime, I think, in the year 2035, by the year 2035, it would be Brazil and not the United States that would be the superpower in the Western Hemisphere. And the balance of power would shift from the Northern Hemisphere to the Southern Hemisphere. And so therefore, Mr. Kissinger, Mr. Bush, Mr. Scowcroft, and all of them said in unison that it must be in the national interest of the United States to reduce these populations by any means necessary. Carter, the peanut farming nuclear physicist, a nuclear physicist masquerading as a peanut farmer. So under his administration, they published a report called Global 2000, written by John D. Rockefeller. And they set a goal. In other words, the first study was showing what the policy should be. Global 2000 was the implementation phase. And they called for the reduction of the world's population down to 2 billion by the year 2000. So I'm just giving you the background so that you can understand how AIDS fits in. How do you kill 4 billion people, in other words? So you never thought about that, probably, did you? You never thought about that, did you? You never thought about how you could wipe out an entire continent, have you? You haven't thought about that. So you're so wrapped up in yourself. You think everybody sees the world the way you see it. They don't. You think that what I'm saying and reporting to you is impossible because you don't think like that. But how could somebody do that? How could they think of something like that? Well, what made you the standard of what people can think about? These people think about what's in their interest. They ain't worrying about what you think about it. See, black people, sometimes you're so arrogant. Yes, you are. You're so arrogant because you're so black that you don't even think about what it must be like to be white. And I don't mean no disrespect. But white people are at a disadvantage, a very distinct disadvantage. Suppose you were white on a black planet. That's why you have things like apartheid and Zionism and segregation. This is an effort of the white race to keep themselves separate and apart from black humanity. You heard the old American expression, one drop of black blood makes you what? Black. So if you carry one drop of black blood, you are classified as black. You cannot be a member of the white family. We didn't set it up like that because we don't care what you look like. I got people in my family look like they white. Red hair, blue eyes, everything. But they got one drop somewhere. I'm just telling you the facts now.
If you care about animals, good health, and the earth, please consider becoming a vegetarian. The lives you save may include your own. For free vegetarian recipes, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Only 28% of Americans believe in evolution.
62% want creation science taught along with evolution in our schools.
44% want creation science taught exclusively.
You are
all about to learn that you didn't come from monkeys and slime. All of you were created in the image and likeness of God.
But didn't we evolve from prior organisms?
Yes, we did. Those organisms were named Adam and Eve.
Then why do we share 99% of our DNA with chimpanzees?
The Bible doesn't teach about chimpanzees.
What about redundant DNA and junk DNA? Does the Bible teach about that?
Well, I can tell you one thing. There's no redundant DNA in hell.
Our children are our future.
Let's try not to turn them into dangerous idiots.
Now that America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. AboriginalPress.blogspot.com